So I was on the latest series of Bridgerton. I played a character called Lord Remington, and there's some sort of some British television stuff that people might recognize me if they're into watching that, things like BBC's Better and Midsummer Murders. But Bridgerton's the sort of first American project I've done, so it was fun for that. An American audience may know me primarily for that.
And I have to admit, it was after seeing you on Bridgerton that I thought I desperately want to have you on the podcast to talk about not just the most popular show on Netflix, absolutely not a big deal, but also about being a disabled actor in that space. And I think particularly in Bridgerton, I think it's one of those shows that very rightly, we think about with diversity, we think about the incredible range of people that they portray on the show. And it was really, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel it was really only this season that disability started being covered.
As far as I know, and that's really interesting to me because I'm a huge history nerd, and it's always been interesting with period dramas and their relationship with disability, because in the past there'd be far more disabled people, and there'd be far, healthcare was far worse, that people would be injured, there were a lot more wars and battles, and people would often grow up, slightly malnourished. And that even with our sort of disabilities we have today, I think there would be a lot more of that and general wonkiness, I sort of like to call it. So I think I've always found it interesting when I don't see that reflected in period dramas, and everyone actually looks even more clean and more perfect and more. And it's interesting because it would sort of, to modern standards, it would be the other way around. So it was a delight to have this come through and to be there. And I particularly like me as a history nerd, I particularly loved, because I did a bit of research into it, sort of what it was it like being a disabled person at the time. And I looked into bath chairs, and then they brought that as they were called, wheelchairs at the time were called bath chairs. And they brought that to me, and I was delighted, because that one we use in the program is not a recreation. It's an actual of the time bath chair.
I was going to ask you about this, but I cannot believe that.
I was so excited. I just sort of sitting there, but I was sort of slightly cautious of it, because it was like this beautiful old thing, and it was amazing, and I didn't want to break it, or it was like my baby for that period of time. Fantastic thing.
Do you know
Yeah.
how old it was?
I think it was from the Regency. So,
Wow.
they really went all out, and it's a credit to them and a credit to everybody who finds these things. I always find it on every program I work. It's in the best possible way. I find it distracting in a good way. When you look around and you look around at these sets and the costumes and the effort everyone puts into making everything just look so perfect, I come onto set and my breath is so taken away by what
Wow.
I'm seeing around me. At the and you can tell in every little, and it was like this on Bridgerton, in every little minute bit of detail that may even not be on camera, but just for tiny little moments have gone evenings and evenings and evenings of effort from
Wow.
everyone here. And it's really interesting, because I'll have this moment of wow, and everyone else is like, yeah, so should we get going? And I'm like, oh yeah, right, John, working for it, and I can't just sit there and admire all these
Yeah.
things. But honestly, it's a credit to everyone, and it was so detailed and brilliant, and I've got no idea how they managed to source that bath chair.
I
But
mean, it was, I kid you not, it was something I wanted to raise specifically with you because I was looking at it and thought, okay, like this feels like it could be accurate. But I'm so glad though that you did do the research into the time period because that sort of makes it feel more authentic. And I feel like we could sit and talk about Bridgerton in terms of the set design and everything for absolutely ages because I love history as well, but I'm also a bit of an interior design and architecture person. Mm. So I saw the Architectural Digest video where one of the main set designers goes through some of the different sets in Bridgerton, and the attention to detail, like you mentioned, just this color is in this space, but now it's in that space, and it's so intentional.
Yeah, and it's the specificity on display, because specificity counts for so much, because even if you don't consciously pick something up, your brain does. As a viewer, we go, if something's missing, we may not even consciously realize it, but we go, something's odd here. So they have to be so detailed and so specific. And it's amazing, honestly. It's magic what they do.
In your experience being on Bridgerton, which I know I'm so incredibly interested in, is what... So we've talked about sort of the sets and the attention to detail of those, and then the wheelchair itself. But as a disabled actor in that space with now very famous people, put that aside, but, you know, other actors, how does it feel as a disabled actor in those spaces?
It's extraordinary. People were so lovely. There is, and it's not a negative thing, there is a cultural difference between, and you could sort of feel that, between British attitudes towards disability and American attitudes. And it's not a better or worse thing. In America, the support's better, but it's also like the medical model is a bigger thing and it's more sort of medicalized. And it's really interesting in the little interactions, and you can sort of feel that. And I find that really interesting. But people were really lovely. It's really funny because everyone wants to get everything right. And it's really nice because I'm just like, throw me in and do whatever. But everyone's like, are we doing everything okay? Because most people are really nice and just will always want to get it right. And sometimes that can make people understandably very nervous, as happens with every single job. There is a bit of, particularly if someone's not, you know, growing up around disability, which is unfortunately the case in past generations, where disabled people were segregated into different schools. If you haven't grown up around someone like us, you know that there can be that. And so you've got to kind of put them at ease. But it was really nice. And it was really interesting to sort of be in that environment, because the amount of, while we're all sort of doing this, you know, and putting on this sort of voice, the amount of people from all over the place with all sorts of different accents in their real lives and from different disciplines, and we're all sort of chatting and getting along, and I love to hear about people and their path and their craft, and so that was a joy, and I found my experience of working there and working on set really nice. People were lovely.
Oh, that's so incredible to hear. But on the accent point, I was watching interviews with various members of the cast, and I can't remember her name now, but the actress who plays Eloise, when I heard her speak in her normal speaking voice, I felt I'm so taken out of the character, because she couldn't sound more different. But in terms of the America versus British sort of culture, I grew up in the US and then moved to the UK when I was 16, so I really get what you mean about the different ways that different countries approach disability. But in terms of the acting industry in Britain, how have you felt in those spaces? You mentioned that Americans, they desperately want everyone to be happy all the time, even if it's just being American happy. But I do agree with you that they're is this willingness to beg? Is there anything more? Is there anything more? And I'm curious what British acting industry feels like for you.
It's really interesting, because I went to drama school. I came through that route from a very theatrical background and sort of
you
classical
training.
You
couldn't tell. Couldn't tell at all.
Theatre, darling. You know, there's what I like, and I like about my career so far, is the huge variety in it. And when you're doing a really intense play with a budget that's not so big, but is really, there's much more, you get on and do everything yourself, and everyone sort of pitches in. And so it can be strange when you get to a set, because I think sets I think in the past, maybe there was more of a difference, but I think British and American sets, maybe because of the prevalence of streaming and filming of American programs over here and sort of vice versa, it's all kind of homogenized, which is really interesting. But it's really interesting to go from sort of doing it yourself and, you know, getting that to people being lovely and basically waiting on your hand and foot and go, can I do anything? And I just sort of don't know how to respond to that in the nicest possible way, because it's so new to me. And that is something I haven't quite gotten used to yet. And I don't know whether I want to get used to it. I don't know whether that is nice as it's something I'd want to come to expect.
Yeah. For anyone who knows me, even remotely, I'm sure they're thinking Emma could get used to that real fast. And I probably could. But that's really interesting. But I do really hear what you mean about sort of those very different environments where it is sort of everyone muck in and do what you can for the sake or for the good of that final product.
Yeah. And there are so many people that usually it would be one person doing four different jobs, and the scale is terrifying.
Yeah.
I remember I loved doing this, but I did have a moment because it was a night shoot and I just finished filming my first main role in a TV series, which was Better, but I was still sort of new to the whole game and I was very intimidated by this massive set. And there was this moment of it being in the early hours of the morning. And the camera was there. I was liking it to this massive mechanical monster. You know, you're always expected to, act naturally. And there's this beast there that feels like it's here.
Yeah.
And I had this moment of, how did this happen? How did it get here? In the nicest possible way, there was complete panic right before they said action. But that's always interesting. It's the scale and enormity and the map, because I like to try and learn everyone's names and get to know everyone. And I also realized that was on this sort of scale, I'm probably quite impossible.
Well, I bet when you look at the cast alone, it's a huge ensemble cast, although there are, of course, main characters in every series and that changes, but there are the main cast members, but all of the crew and the writers and everyone who makes that incredibly opulent world, because it, you know, but even if it was somewhere very dingy or rural, which is quite different, there are still lots of people who need to make it look that way and make it look authentically that way. This will not surprise you, but I also love period dramas. And I remember that there was something in the news at one point about a scene in Downton Abbey where you're able to see an overhead wire, and people were so outraged at that because it really took them out of the time period.
Yeah.
I have watched that episode so many times and I can't find it, but it's something that could be so incredibly small that someone's going to comment on. But particularly with a show like Bridgerton, that is getting millions and millions of watches. And there needs to be that amount of people making that world.
That's always something. And I think in the afterwards, because sometimes you do these filming jobs and it can take a couple of years. So you go on, you get on with you do all the jobs, and then it comes out. And particularly on looking at the scale of viewership of this series, when you see that, hundreds of millions of people have probably seen your mug. It's amazing and lovely and terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, I can only imagine as an actor that, you know, that type of exposure. I mean, I hope it's let, like, open doors for you or gotten you on people's radar.